anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program today as we get ready for another basketball, wrestling, football show. We are jam-packed. Folks, we promised you a great recap. Rod Tickle is stepping aside at Hastings as their wrestling coach. We have him scheduled up top. Then we're going to talk with some of the coaches, and it's going to be quick. It's not going to be like a 10-minute interview like we do on most shows. It's going to be two or three questions for each guy, and just recapping their weekend. Some of the guys that had great weekends, Tyler Herman and Amherst, Darren Garfield of state champion Central City, Dan Ledesky from Adams Central, best finish in school history, Matt Rogers at Kearney Catholic, best finish in school history. Mike Shadwinkle from Grand Island is going to join us in the last segment, coming off their first state championship in 26 years. Plus, in betwixt all the wrestling talk, Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal-Star is going to join us. A couple of football news items in the last 24 hours here. Patrick Witt, rumored that he would be leaving. Next thing you know, he's leaving. Mike Eckler, the linebacker coach, rumored that he might be going to South Florida. Now it's confirmed that he interviewed at South Florida for their defensive coordinator job. Morning, Daddy.
Morning. Also in Husker football news, Leiden Murtha blowing up the combine.
Who cares?
Blowing up the combine, raising his draft status.
Okay. We aren't even going to have come close to time to talk as much about some of the things that we want to talk about, like basketball and baseball, a tie. Good Lord, we got to talk about that tie all the time. But, Tony, I have to ask you this. NFL Combine and high school seniors. Is it the same thing? Recruiting five stars and turning in good combine times and good combine workouts. Is it the same thing? It doesn't matter. I mean, there are some things you look at and go, yeah, that guy's fast. Yeah, that guy's strong.
Well, I think it matters financially to Leiden Murtha. If you're following Husker football and you didn't think he had a chance to get drafted, it starts to matter.
Also matters to five-star kids that get full rides to USC in Miami. I think it's the same exact thing. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying it's the same exact thing. I'm also saying I could care less. I really could about the NFL Combine. And I know you love it.
Well, why would you feel happy for somebody that had a great that moved up and improved?
No, it's not the whole deal. See, again, we got a show planned, and you have to go off on a rant that has nothing to do with what we had planned today. Somebody is always going to have a good combine. It happens to be Leiden Murtha. Somebody is always going to have a bad combine, or they're going to be hurt. Does that always mean that they're going to be good or bad in the NFL?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So what's the big deal? What's this prove?
Well, it proved that nobody saw this coming and that he put himself on the map to be drafted.
Bill Callahan did. That's why you got him to Nebraska.
Yeah, Bill Callahan.
Let's go. Let's start this show off. And we've got a lot of things we want to talk about today. But up first, we are going to be joined by the head wrestling coach at Hastings High School, Rod Tickle, who is going to be moving aside after this illustrious career that took him all the way from Kearney State as an All-American to Bennington to Hastings and so many great wrestlers along the way. And, Rod, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, glad to have you on the program. And I guess it's time to watch your boy and the success that he has had and time to let somebody else take over at Hastings. Talk a little bit about that decision.
Well, it's sweet and sour. There's no question about it. I'm definitely going to miss coaching, but I'm certainly looking forward to being more of a dad and watching my own son. And when we came from Bennington, that was a tiny little school, K-12 building, and it was the best fit for our kids in Hastings to go to St. Cecilia at the time because it was a good match as far as class-wise, number-wise, and you know, my oldest boy came over to the high school, and I thought eventually one day my youngest boy would come over, and that wasn't to be. The youngest boy started in kindergarten, and he just entrenched in there, and there's no budging him, and that's just okay with me. But at this time, it means, you know, missing out on his wrestling career while I'm helping everybody else out, and I think it's probably time to step aside and be a better dad. I'll get to watch him, and I look forward to that.
Rod, walking out of the Quest Center, were the emotions what you thought they'd be, or did you even think about that?
I did. I thought, boy, from a coaching perspective, I really have so many friends, coaches that I think I might be talking to for the last time. Who knows? As far as being down there on the floor, that's a luxury that I won't have anymore. Certainly, I will miss the relationship with the kids. The athletes that you have in this sport are so dedicated, and they ask you, they'll do anything you ask of them, and you can't beat a dedicated wrestler for an athlete. Those kids really put it on the line, and that's very rewarding as a coach to have that kind of loyalty.
We're talking with Rod Tickle from Hastings. He's stepping aside at Hastings High School. We've been told Brian's going to be taking over the program. Is that right?
Well, it's not official. I believe that he's probably a front runner for that. I would certainly like to see him do that. I know that he's taken over the kids program. He's worked awful hard in setting up a feeder program to the middle school and to the high school, and it does make good sense that he would be the man, but I'm not sure that there's a contract that's been offered yet. We'll just say that it looks good. How about that?
Okay. Let's also talk about your son. Obviously, when we set the interview up last week, we were hoping things would go well for him, and they got him into the Parade of Champions on Saturday, and it was a tight match until the very end, and as so many things happen, you got to make a move, and if it doesn't work out, then sometimes the score doesn't look as close as the match, but what a sophomore season he had, plus St. Cecilia right behind him. I know his wrestling partner there comes away and then does get a state championship.
Yeah. You know, I'm awful proud as a father. I know what he's gone through, and he's put a significant amount of time and effort, and he's suffered greatly, like all those kids that are up at the top have done. So it was very nerve-wracking for me. I knew that he could wrestle well, but this is a new venue to be on the mat by yourself with a lot of people watching you. You don't know how they're going to compete. And the semifinal matchup, I don't think I've ever been so nervous in my life for a match as I was that one. And it was against a boy that he had handled a couple of times before, but you just don't know. So, Joe is a good competitor. He had a good kid in the finals, and that kid handled him. I mean, he wrestled a very, very intelligent match, didn't do anything to hurt himself, and Joe came out on the short end of the stick in that particular match. And I think it was a great experience, but I think Joe can wrestle better, no doubt about it.
Well, he's going to have at least a couple of more seasons to try that out. And I guess, Rod, you kind of touched on it. Our last question for you here is the emotions that run through you as you're watching as a father. Obviously, there were some emotions during the 20-plus years that you were coaching, whether at Bennington or Hastings. Can you remember a couple times that were close to that?
Well, as far as pride goes, I inherited a pretty good team in Bennington and won a state championship out there, and that was tremendous. And my oldest boy, when he won the match that it required to be a state medalist, I think that just choked me up pretty good. There's so many of them. I had a boy that was a three-time state champion. That was pretty darn special. And, to be honest with you, moments in wrestling, they're always great, but it's the kids, it's the relationships you have with the kids, and when you have that final senior banquet and you say goodbye to kids that you've been coaching since they were just little rascals, and now they're heading off to college, and you know that they're prepared, they're going to be good men, and your philosophy of life is all about character building, and wrestling is a great model for life, and if the kids will give in to it, and be dedicated and be reliable, I think they become good young men. And when you say goodbye to a bunch of good young men and you think you've had a hand in it, it's very, very rewarding.
Right.
in spite of how they do in wrestling.
Rock, congratulations on a great career, and would you take some time off now and relax?
I'm going to do it. You betcha.
He's the member of the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame, Rod Tickle, stepping aside at Hastings. And, Rod, hopefully we'll see you again soon. Take care. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Thank you very much, guys.
Rod Tickle joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck. Who knows? Maybe we'll see him again. He's still a young dude. He's a young old cat. He's a young cat.
He put in a lot of time. Go fishing.
Do something else that you enjoy. Well, it's the Doug and Daddy Show, recapping what happened at State Wrestling this past week. As we said, we're going to be talking briefly with some of the great area coaches from Amherst, Central City, Adams Central, Kearney Catholic, and, of course, Grand Island, couple state champs. And up next, the state runner-up, Tyler Herman from Amherst. The Broncos, again, go in and do their thing. And they're like Sutton to Sandy Creek. They got to find a way to get Howells out of the way. And still, though, a great tournament with a lot of young kids, and we're going to be talking about that maybe with in Class A, Kearney and Grand Island. As good as they're doing, they're still very young. And Tyler Herman, the head coach at Amherst, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, now you're back to work. How's that feel?
I'm not ready to be back to work, that's for sure. It usually takes me a few days to recover from that state tournament. That's kind of brutal.
Well, you get to the Quest Center, and the questions were, can Amherst depth overcome maybe a little higher quality that Howells had, because we knew how many kids they'd have? And Howells didn't exactly tear up the finals round, but they had it wrapped up before then. Overall, just your thoughts on how Amherst state tournament went.
You know, I was real proud of our boys, how they wrestled down there. You know, coming into this season, we lost a lot of good seniors last year, and you know, a lot of people didn't expect us to do as good as we did. You know, before the season starts, the conference coaches vote on who's going to win the conference, and we didn't even get picked to win the conference this year. Elm Creek was, you know, chosen as top dogs in the conference. So to win conference, win districts, and then state runner-up, you know, I was real proud of the boys. We kind of, you know, to some, we overachieved. We knew all along we'd be right in the mix, but a lot of guys stepped up this year and wrestled well for us.
Let's be honest. Did you see that many medalists coming?
I was hoping for, you know, at least, you know, four or five. I knew to be in the mix with Howells, we'd have to have at least four or five, but have six, you know, that was a pretty big deal, and we were awful close to having seven, where Gavin Kinney was up in the match 4-2 going into the third period and got put to his back and pinned, but we were awful close to having seven, and I knew to even have a chance to be Howells, we were going to have to get as many as we could.
Tyler, we're up above on Friday morning, and Doug says, well, just go down and see if you can find somebody, and I go, well, it's perfect. I'll get Tyler Herman or Dave to come up, and that'd be super for the show on Friday. You guys had so damn many kids going. I couldn't even get one of you to look at me. I'm standing right behind you literally for a half hour, and one of you would leave the... I mean, it's like you never two together because you had so many kids going. That had to be exciting, and trying to keep track of what was going on had to be really hectic.
Yeah, that got kind of stressful at times. I think there's actually twice during the state tournament this weekend we had three kids going at once, and that's never happened. This is my fifth year, and it's never happened one time, and it did twice this weekend. So we had to ask some coaches to switch chairs with us so we kind of be on two mats at one time. And hey, it got pretty chaotic.
Tyler Herman from Amherst joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tyler, you've been through this before. You have state championships. You have state runner-up trophies. But talk about this weekend. You always, I mean, you're going in, you think, hey, we got a chance to win state. When do you realize, damn, we're just not going to catch Howells? And what, as from a coaching standpoint, are you thinking at that time?
I think, you know, Friday night after that semifinal round, I knew it'd be tough. We were tied going into that round, and they jumped up by about 22 or 23 after that. And I knew to have a chance, we'd have to win about every single match Saturday morning and get all four of our kids in the wrestle backs with that third place medal. So I knew kind of then it'd be awful tough. But you just talk to the kid and say, hey, you know what? Go out there, do your job as an individual, get as high as you can on that podium, and whatever happens with the team race happens. But, you know, I tell the kids all year, get as high as you can on that medal stand no matter what's going on with the team. You got to, you know, wrestling is mostly an individual sport, and you got to kind of take care of yourself. You do your job as an individual, takes care of the team side of things.
Tyler, talk about the two kids in the finals, in Tobenheim and DeBern.
Both those boys had great years. Justin was 42-0, tied the school record for most wins in the season. You know, he's been dominant all year. I think he has something like 30, 31 pins on the year of his 42 wins. Bryce Stibbern, a kid who missed the first 6 weeks again this year, just like last year due to injury. He started off real hot, though, got some big wins over some ranked kids early, and that kind of built his confidence and carried over in the state tournament.
Well, Tyler, before we let you go, we talked about how young you are. People always looking ahead. I got a feeling that maybe you guys, depending on who the Raider is, might be preseason number one. Might be preseason number one next year. I guess talk about what Howells have, what you have, and maybe a couple of the other teams that were in team contention there, like Palmer.
Coming back next year, we got 9 state qualifiers back and 5 of our medalists. So we got quite a few, probably the most we've had since I've been here returning. Howells, they're going to have 3 medalists back. Supposedly they got a pretty good freshman coming in at 215, of course. They've had good 215s forever, except for this year they didn't have one, but they got another one coming in next year. Palmer, I believe, had 4 medalists, and they got all 5 of their qualifiers back, all 4 medalists back. So I think, you know, us, Howells, and Palmer are probably going to be the top 3 again next year. If I'm doing ratings again, I can tell you I won't put us number one. No, never. If we finish number one, so be it. That's great. That's what we want. But I'll never probably rate us number one. But if the Howells coach does it, I'm guessing that's where he might put us. So I guess we'll just see come next November who's doing ratings.
Tyler, I've got to ask you. Doug brings up Palmer. You bring up Palmer. Was that a poor call in that heavyweight match?
We were actually sitting right behind the Class D mat there. And, you know, I feel sorry for the Sutton kid. It's a terrible way to lose a match, but he did have a handful of the singlet there, and he kept it from about the middle of the mat to the edge. So he had that singlet grasp, and that was the correct call. Like I said, you hate to see a kid lose that way, but the official, both officials saw it, and that's how it should be called.
That's unbelievable. Wardeen's hopping out of bounds to get away from him.
Yeah, they kind of, and it looked, for people that couldn't see it, it looks like maybe he's fleeing the mat. But then the people on the backside there could obviously see that singlet was held. And anytime you grab it, whether you grab it and let go or grab it and hang on, it's a penalty point.
Well, a rough way for that one to go out. And I know Daddy wants to talk a little bit more about that because he's been converted into a psychotic wrestling fan this past weekend. Hey, Tyler, great year. We look forward to doing it again next season. And please stay around here and do the great job that you're always doing.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Tyler Herman, head wrestling coach at Amherst. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Darren Garfield of the state champions from Central City, Dan Lanusky from Adams Central, Steve Sipple going to slide in to talk about Patrick Witt leaving the Husker football program, plus Matt Rogers of Kearney Catholic, Mike Shadwinkle of Grand Island Senior High. Stay with us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation with the Doug and Daddy Show, where their motto is,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
February 24th is Fat Tuesday at the Storm Game, presented by KHAS-TV. Watch the Storm battle the in-state rival Lincoln Stars. Enjoy Storm hockey with a Mardi Gras flavor, plus it's $2 beer night. That's right, $2 beers all night long. Join the Fat Tuesday celebration this Tuesday, February 24th. For tickets, call 308-338-8011 or log on to stormhockey.com. Storm hockey, presented by Viero.
A strong relationship with your banker is pretty important. Hello, I'm Randy Jackson, Ag Banker with Platte Valley State Bank, Kearney. We're a community bank focused on sound and traditional business. Yet we are big enough to satisfy your needs for innovation and personable enough to know you as a partner. We understand your farming business and will provide you with all the products you need and the service you deserve. At Platte Valley State Bank, strong and sound relationships are guaranteed.
Your financial center, member FDIC.
Every week, there's a new webcast featuring Tri-City Storm coach Tom Rudrud and hosted by the arena voice of the Storm, Derek Stinson. Brought to you by ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. Click on ESPNSuperstation.com to see the Tri-City Storm Coach's Corner webcast.
You've likely heard about our Grand Island YMCA professionally run, professionally staffed childcare program. But have you heard about the Wise Toddler Preschool? It's designed for children 18 months to age 3. Our program creates a loving, nurturing, and learning environment where toddlers participate in art, music, stories, and outdoor play. I'm Thor Larson, Executive Director of the Grand Island Y, encouraging you to call us for information about our child and toddler preschool programs, where we build strong kids, strong families, and a strong community at our Grand Island YMCA.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop across the area today with a high temperature into the upper 40s with southeast winds increasing around 10 to 20 miles per hour at times. Tonight, we'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies. Back to the mid-20s as winds remain out of the south. We'll see a high near 60 Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
Uh, the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Talking to some winners on today's Doug and Daddy Show. And, you know, I always think about the time when the season winds down. We've got wrestling this weekend. It's state swimming. Then it's state basketball for girls and boys. And then you're driving home from Lincoln in the state tournament Saturday or Sunday when you finish wrapping it up. And you're going, the boys are in the field. It's time to get in the field. And, Daddy, you're thinking, huh, I wonder if they're going to be a winner just like these state champions.
Damn it. Damn it, Mom, we don't have enough corn ordered yet.
I wonder if they're planting Dynagrow.
Well, 1-800-652-9298. They've still got corn available. They've still got beans available and certainly still have Everlast Alfalfa available. Whether you're interested in Veogard VT Triple Hybrids, Hercules Extra Insect Protection, or the Roundup Ready Corn 2 system, Dynagrow has it all heading into this season. 57V07 is the preseason number one hybrid. Call your local Dynagrow seed dealer today. Dynagrow is growing with you.
Hey, by the way, I saw an interesting fact. Texas A&M Nebraska are going to be on ESPN2 tomorrow night. Doug Gottlieb will be doing color at the Devaney. Wonder what the student section might have, you know, maybe made up.
Funny note on Doug. Got a call this morning, actually, from ESPN saying, hey, Doug Gottlieb coming through there. That's the place where he does the show at, right, when he comes through Nebraska. I said, I think you're thinking about Lincoln.
Hell yeah,
buddy.
It is.
So I directed him to Lincoln, but hey, they wanted to come here for a second.
Did you line up an interview with him tomorrow?
No, I didn't. He's a punk.
Unbelievable. Steve Simple coming up, Lincoln Journal star, and we continue our wrestling talk now with the head coach of the Class C state champion Central City Bison. It is the first state championship. They were the runner-up back in 81. They took a third in 76, but they take 11 kids to Omaha, and they get the job done. And we are pleased to be joined by head coach Darren Garfield. And, Coach, congratulations to you and the Bison.
Well, I truly appreciate it. Thank you for having us on today.
Well, it is great to have you on, and it's always nice to see a program reach the pinnacle for the first time, because usually those are the most exciting and the most memorable. This has been a program that has went through a variety of coaches in the past. I'm not just talking the last couple of years, but they always have seemed to kind of be on the radar. What helped you get these kids over the hump and all the way to the top?
Well, we just got a great group of guys. They believe in everything we're asking them to do, and that's the biggest step, is you can get them to believe in your system. And the second part of that is these guys have put in the time, and it goes back to, you know, when they're 5 and 6 years old and mom and dad carting them all over the state and all over the country, and the amount of mat time these guys have gotten in their careers is just incredible. So,
Darren, I think a lot of people going into this state tournament had you guys pegged as one of the favorites, but being a favorite and then finding a way to get it done on that stage is two different things. Did you believe you had the best team in the state going to Omaha?
I think going in, the thing that we knew in the back of our heads was we have the most depth. And we, as you mentioned, we had 11 state qualifiers, which was the most of any Class C team. And we knew we were going to have, you know, our top-end scores, but the thing that we were hoping that would help us carry us through is that depth and having those guys come through, and maybe not even the guys that medaled. You know, we had 6 state medalists, but having 11 guys down there, we needed everybody scoring points for us, and that kind of helped us having 11 bodies down there.
Maybe you and Coach Herman over at Amherst need to find a way to breed some big boys. Both of you took a lot of kids, but nobody over 71, no 89, no 215, no heavyweight. Do you have some kids coming that's going to maybe fill out your roster here?
We've got a couple bodies down in the junior high going to come up through. You know, we had a full squad. Just, you know, the 3 guys in the upper weight classes weren't able to qualify. And they were steady performers for us all year. You know, those 3 guys that didn't qualify were still huge in our season. They're big in our conference and district championship titles that we also got. And so, you know, they didn't qualify, but we do have some. Our heavyweight graduated, but we do have our 71, or 89 and our 215-pounder coming back next year.
Darren, it didn't take you long to get on the medal stand to get to the top of it, the 103-pounder. Can you talk about the kids you had in the state finals, including him?
Yeah, Connor Bowling is a 103-pounder. He's a freshman. He finished the year 38-0. Just a steady performer. Obviously, his record speaks for itself. And he just just a kid that just has been focused from day one. I mean, he's a kid that has, like I mentioned earlier, has put in the time. I mean, he's been traveling all over the country. His dad was a state champion for us back in 1981. He's also one of our assistant coaches, and it's just been a pleasure to have him. He's just one of those guns that that you got in your back pocket all the time, and to have him in our fold for the next 3 years is going to be exciting. And 125 pounds, we have a state champion, Logan Williams. And he's a kid that is our first four-time state medalist in Central City history. And for him to finish it out with a state championship is wonderful. I think he got sixth as a freshman. He got third as a sophomore, second last year as a junior, and then a state champion this year. So,
Darren Garfield, head coach at Central City, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Does Connor feel like maybe he's getting cheated a little bit? I mean, this kid doesn't wrestle 15 seconds, 59 seconds, 50 seconds. He hadn't put in 3 minutes of mat time at state till he hit the final. Is he, I guess, would you classify him as he goes out and is just a flat-out pinner?
You know, it's funny that you say it because he actually broke our takedown record this year. His style throughout the year was wrestling on his feet. He would take guys down and let them go and take them down, and he ended up with over 160 takedowns on the year, which shattered a record. Going down to the state tournament, though, we just had, you know, talked with him about putting people away. So many fluky things can happen at the state tournament. I've seen, you know, wrestlers be up by 10 or 11 points, get thrown in the headlock and pinned. So we just encourage not just him, all of our guys. We have a chance to put somebody away. Let's just put him away, get off the mat, get on to the next match.
Darren, being a new wrestling fan, I must admit, though, if a kid comes from Gordon Rushville, you should let him wrestle longer than 15 seconds.
You know, I tell you, I spent 4 years out in the panhandle. I coached out there in Hemingford for 4 years. And it is a haul to come in here, so I definitely know what you're saying. So.
Now, of course, many people that are familiar with you and your brother and your family have kind of come in to Central Nebraska here. And, of course, over at Wood River, they're doing well. How's your dad doing?
He's tired, I think. He puts in the miles. My brother's the head football coach over at Wood River. And so during football season, my dad is on the sidelines all year long over there. And then I kind of get him over here during wrestling season. And then, of course, he's the voice of Class C. He's the Class C announcer of the state wrestling tournament and has been for several years here. And so he's a man of many hats, but he does a great job. Not just him, but my mom, too. She teaches over at Donovan Trumbull. And so they make the circuit. They definitely put in the miles.
Well, that, obviously, everything about the week is special, but also had to be special for you and him when he says, I mean, he gets to announce that Central City is the state champion and announce you, and I mean, that has to be kind of over the top. Not very many people get to experience that, if any.
Well, it's one of the most amazing experiences. We you know, talked a little bit about the possibility that you don't want to put the cart before the horse and say, hey, you know, you're maybe going to get to do this. But it's almost like a dream deal that he was able to announce us as the state champions. And just, you know, it's incredible. It's one of these things that, you know, kind of hasn't really sunk in yet. But I think as time goes by, you know, that moment just going to be more special as the years go by.
Also, it's got to be a special feeling finally overshadowing Bob Jensen.
That's a hard thing to do.
Well, Coach, we've been asking a lot of folks about this. Is this the start of what could be a Class C powerhouse? It's too early to call it a dynasty, but what about the core of the group you're going to have coming back next year?
Oh, hey, we're hoping that we can keep things rolling. We've won three straight district championships. I've got 7 of 11 state qualifiers coming back, and 4 of our 6 medalists are coming back. And, you know, one of the state champions graduates, but we have Connor Bowling back for 3 more years. We're hoping. I mean, our expectations are high, and I think people's expectations for us are high, too, but we want them there. You know, there's some teams out there, though, that are going to have lots to say at that. Mitchell returns everybody. They're the state runner-up to us. And they absolutely bring everybody back. So we got our work cut out for us, and that's just saying that we're going to stay in Class C, which we never know. We're right on the bubble there. We could, you know, bounce back up into Class B, which we were at last year. So we're excited for the possibilities. We have a lot of talent coming back, but we know we got our work cut out for us. So,
well, Coach, enjoy the parade, the pep rally, the free ice cream cone, the year-long subscription to Huskerland Prep. The first is the best, and we look forward to catching up with you again as the next season rolls around. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much for having us on, and thanks you guys for your support for high school wrestling.
You bet. Darren Garfield, head coach of the state champion Central City Bison, first state championship in wrestling in school history.
See, I didn't even get asked if he thought it was a good call.
Ha ha ha. Oh, you poor little fella. You're going to get the same from all.
Well, you think NASCAR is bad. It ranks right up there, that call with NASCAR. I'm going to tell you that right now.
What's NASCAR? I heard a good joke the other day. You can make fun of NASCAR fans because you can always get away from them. All you got to do is turn right. Continuing the Doug and Daddy Show with more high school wrestling talk. Not only, we're talking with a lot of teams that had their best finish ever, and one of those is the Adams Central Patriots, and they had been ranked in the top five all season long, and they proved that with a fourth-place finish, 99.5 points in Class B. And Dan Lanusky, the head wrestling coach of the Adams Central Patriots, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, congratulations and good morning.
Hey, thank you.
Well, it was a great week, but hey, let's face it. It was capped. We talked earlier with Rod Tickle about his son wrestling and about his kids that have wrestled, and what a way to go out here for Adams Central with Nick coming out in an exciting match, getting a pin to win a state championship. A very emotional time, but what a way to cap this weekend.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, it was a very special moment. And Nick fell behind in a hole a little bit, but we were pretty sure once we got him on the mat, we would be able to have our way with him. And once Nick got on top, that's exactly how it ended.
Dan, obviously, when you go back, in the last couple years, you know, Coach Malberg had Bryce and the standout athlete at Elwood. But when you coach your son, like you've had the opportunity to do, when did the emotion at state tournaments start taking over?
Probably Friday night, actually, after his semifinal match, and we both kind of talked that it would be his last match of his high school career to go out on top, just give his best effort, and we'd be proud of that.
Well, obviously, it wasn't just Nick. This team really came together and did some special things for you. I guess just talk about how things overall as a whole went for you.
Well, we thought we could have had a couple more kids down at state, and when a couple of kids didn't quite get through, we weren't sure how well we'd do as a team. But the nine guys we got there, boy, to medal five of them. Richard Coates lost first round and came back with five wins. Alex Rosvet, he's been consistent all year, and he finishes fourth. John Lindblad is a great surprise, and we'll have Adam Joseph back next year. He got fourth for us. So, getting fourth as a team, we probably couldn't ask for too much more than that.
Dan, did you see any of the four kids that maybe didn't medal? Did you see them medaling on before the tournament?
Well, Isaac Olson's just a sophomore, and just to get him down there was great for him. In his wrestleback match, he had to wrestle a returning state champ that had also gotten beaten. So it would have been a tough road for Isaac. Travis Frest, we thought, had a good shot to medal. He really is a tough kid on the mat when he is in top form, and when he gets his motor running, it's hard for him to slow down. So, yeah, we thought maybe we could add one more, maybe Riley Larson, a heavyweight, but we're happy with five.
Dan Lanusky from Adams Central joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I guess talk about, you mentioned Richard Coates lost in the first round and then comes all the way back through. It proves a couple of things. You need to wrestle the tournament out for that very reason, but what do you, I guess, tell a kid, because he wasn't the only one, obviously, in the tournament that did that. What do you, A, tell a kid, and B, how do you have to make sure he reacts and can keep things going, because he knows it's a long road to come back and get to the medal stand?
Well, we truly did look at one match at a time, and maybe the problem with Richard, before his first match, was he was already looking at who he would have to wrestle in the semifinals, and in that first match, he got upset by someone that he'd beaten before. He did have a little bit of flu bug, but, that's the time of year where a lot of kids might be a little under the weather. So I think the best thing for him in wrestlebacks was he looked at one kid at a time and didn't try to look ahead to see who he might have if he won. He knew it was his last chance, and he really wrestled outstanding after that first round loss.
Well, and it's been made a lot of it made the state's publications in the newspapers, and I think – Not to pile on here, because I know it's a great team effort, but it's a special situation to talk about Nick, and I talked with you about this. We've talked on the air about it. You're as proud of what, and Nick is as proud and as excited of what he's doing off the wrestling mat as what he's doing on. You guys are very involved with the United States military, and he's going to be he's a senior in high school, and he already knows he's going to Afghanistan next year. That has got to be, I would have thought, kind of nerve-wracking, and you said he is very much looking forward to this.
Well, it is, and it also, I think, helped us look forward to wrestling as just a sport. He attended basic training last year, and we talked about wrestling camps that other kids went to, and we talked about the fact that basic training is 54 days straight of running, lifting, and hand-to-hand combat, learning to fire weapons. Just the inner discipline that he gained from that really helped him immensely throughout the wrestling season. He's been a great leader for the team, and he kept some other kids in line when they would start screwing around in practice, and it's really nice to have him on the mat.
Big Daddy says he likes the firing guns part, but he doesn't think he could handle the rest of basic training, Dan. Do you think maybe we could give him a scaled-down version of that sometime?
Well, you know, we might find a special incentive camp for Big Daddy there.
It'd have to be,
see what we can do.
It would be less intensive for me. That would be great.
I'm going to get Coach Lenoski. I'm going to get Coach West over from Elm Creek. I'm going to get Coach Reichs. I'm going to get that whole crew, and we're going to put Daddy through the paces someday. Hey, Dan, Congratulations. We appreciate you giving us some time, and it's always great catching up with you.
Hey, appreciate it, Doug. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Take care. Dan Lenoski from Adams Central joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let us take a break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Matt Rogers of Kearney Catholic, Mike Shadwinkle of Grand Island, and Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal Star next.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Season is here again. Fortunately, you can turn your 1040 into 1080p from Sony and save $300 with the purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. Now through February the 28th, use Tax Cut software backed by the people of H&R Block and put the refund towards a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To learn more about how you can save up to $300 on a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV, visit sony.com/1040.
Hello, this is Jimmy Rollins, baseball's Nostradamus. I predicted my Phillies would go all the way, and now I'll read your athletic future. First thing, I see you going into a Dick's Sporting Goods, and you're getting my favorite cleat, the Nike Swingman Remix. I see you practicing your fielding, hitting, and base running. Then I see the pennant in your hands. Wait, it's in my hands. I'm in a ticket tape parade down Market Street. I have soft pretzels, cheese
steaks. Get the Nike Air Swingman Remix cleats at Dick's Sporting Goods. Better athlete. Better team.
Got the down? Then you get the deal. And thanks to you, that's just exactly how it's worked for 28 years at Kearney Auto Sales. One year at a time, one day at a time, one deal at a time, and one customer at a time. At Kearney Auto Sales, your small down payment will put you behind the wheel of your next car or truck. At Kearney Auto Sales, we say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Got the down? Then come get your deal at Kearney Auto Sales on East Highway 30. Buy here, pay here.
This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop across the area today with a high temperature into the upper 40s with southeast winds increasing around 10 to 20 miles per hour at times. Tonight we'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies, back to the mid-20s as winds remain out of the south. We'll see a high near 60 Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We go to the Dead Popper inbox, and then Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal Star is going to join us, breaking up a little wrestling talk here with some football because of what happened yesterday. H-Man in Riverdale has attacked. Greetings, Nebraska football fans. He is talking about Bo Calla. Oh, wait a minute. Bo Pelini sending Whit packing. H-Man says, years before it was in vogue to say what an absolute disaster Bill Callahan was for Nebraska football, I told you so. You mocked, ridiculed, and slandered me, but I was proven right. On January 5th, I told you that Patrick Whit, a.k.a., was a pending nightmare at quarterback. But again, you ridiculed me, and yet I have been proven correct again. When will you faux NU fans learn? Offhand, I'd say never, but can we always hope? So you can go back to wanting to punch me as you drive your cars down the interstate, but you know beneath your embarrassment and rage that in all matters related to Nebraska football, I am ahead of the curve and always right, and you are always behind the curve and always wrong. Accept it, deal with it, and move on. I may live in my parents' basement, but at least I can see Nebraska football for what it is and not what a can of Red Bull and a liter of Absolute wish it was. Time for yet another reality check for some, many, well, most of you. Now go away. Boiler up, H-Man from Riverdale. Claiming he is ahead of the curve. I always say on the curb is Steve Sipple, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. Sip, I don't know, can you set H-Man straight? What happened yesterday? Patrick Whit up and leaves the Husker football program. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. H-Man's a good writer.
We'll put him on board as one of your bloggers.
Yeah, I hope you would steer him towards the Husker Extra blog, because he could, seriously, he'd be a good contributor. He seems to have a pretty good grasp on things. The situation with Patrick Whit, to me, is fairly cut and dried. And this is, you know, I've been talking to some people all morning close to Patrick and close to the program, and I think it's just a matter of Patrick not necessarily feeling that there was an even playing field in the competition for the quarterback job. And, you know, and maybe wanting some assurances that the coaches weren't able to give and therefore deciding to part ways.
Couldn't this have been done in private with a meeting and maybe some things but before just an absolute blow-up, it sounds like?
Well, now, Daddy, I don't think there was a blow-up. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there wasn't one incident that led to this. This is something that occurred over time. In fact, it's really Patrick hasn't been comfortable since he's been at Nebraska. So it's even a situation that spans coaching staffs. I mean, he didn't like the way things were headed under the Callahan coaching staff, and then, you know, and then it continued with this coaching staff for and there's why he doesn't think he had a level playing field. It's hard to say. Patrick's not talking. I don't understand why he didn't feel that, but I know that's what he felt. That's what his family felt, that the coaches favored Zach Lee, and that no matter what he did, he wasn't going to be the guy. And, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that that's what I know, and that's why he's left. That's a big part, and it's probably the crux of the issue as to why he's leaving the program.
Well, I find that interesting when, obviously, he was put into the bowl game ahead of Lee in most of the year. Anytime a quarterback went in, he was ahead of Lee, correct?
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
So it obviously looked like in the coach's mind he was probably better than Zach Lee. Nonetheless, have you confirmed that they did meet with his parents 3 weeks ago?
I don't know. I mean, but I know that there were two conversations with between Patrick's father, Gene, and Bo. I don't know exactly what the setting was, whether it was a phone thing or a face-to-face. I guess, now that you mention it, the dad was in town 3 weeks ago, so I imagine they did meet.
Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star, a couple more before we let you out, Sip. So, is Zach Lee it, or does now Cody Green become much more of the picture?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Cody Green becomes much more of the picture just by virtue there's one guy out of there. We'll have to see. Now, Zach Lee's got to prove a lot now. I mean, that he's I don't think you can just award him the job. I definitely think those two are clear front runners. From what I understand, you don't want to rule Cody Spano out, but from what I understand, he has a ways to go. And that's what you'd expect out of a young quarterback, but it also underscores the fact that Green will have a long way to go. I could see a situation, and this is, we can speculate in February as to how this is going to turn out. And I'm just guessing, and I say this just based on the vibe I get from conversations with coaches and people close to the deal. I could see a situation where Zach Lee is the guy, quote unquote, going in, and then you work Cody Green into games as the season progresses, and see where that goes. But a lot of it is premature to speculate because you want to see how they perform with the top unit as the weeks go along in spring ball.
One other note that happened, Mike Eckler reportedly is interviewed for the D coordinator job at South Florida. What do you think?
Well, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. If they offer it to him, I imagine he would take it because it's a financial windfall. If you look at Wally Burnham, the former South Florida defensive coordinator, was making $220,000. I'm not saying that they would pay Mike Eckler that amount, but it'd be a substantial increase from the $120,000 he's making right now. Although, I think that he'll get bumped up. I think most of the staff will get bumped up soon. So, but having said that, I do think, you know, I mean, I think it'll be a better money situation for him, but also, you know, defensive coordinator is a defensive coordinator. You're on a pretty fast track if you're Mike Eckler, and they want to hire you as a defensive coordinator. We'll see if they offer him the job. Right now, I don't think he's been offered anything that I know of.
Sip, obviously, we're backed up against a little bit of a time restraint here. Is it presumed, then, that Taylor Martinez will come in and play quarterback?
Well, that's what he wants to do, and I'd be surprised if that's not the case because of that. He wants to give that a go, and that, now it makes a little more sense, although I just think he'd be very much a long shot going into this season because of the time element. That offense is too hard to... You know, you're not going to come in June, you know, and have preseason camp 5 weeks to learn that offense.
Simp, we always appreciate the knowledge. We always look forward to having you on, and, hey, enjoy your Monday.
Well, hell, I'm happy that you had me on, and I'm up against it, too, because I got a burrito waiting for me.
Simp, take care, buddy.
All right, see you later.
Steve Simple from the Lincoln Journal-Star joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I think it's very interesting. I've thought all along Cody Green is going to be right there, and this just gets him even closer, although I think this whole situation is weird. It's very weird, and no mention of where he might be going, so weird.
Well, he looks like he's going to stay in school through May, which is even, I guess, more bizarre, isn't it?
Why wouldn't you compete? The whole thing is right. You're going to set out whatever you set out, and I guess it depends where he goes, so... We'll find out, and we'll continue to track this and probably talk to some more Husker folks on the program tomorrow. But right now, we continue our wrestling chat here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Another Hall of Famer joins us. He is now a coach at Kearney Catholic after being inducted as a 3-time state champion from Mullen. Matt Rogers of the Stars, one of the co-coaches at Kearney Catholic, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay. Nice, nice tournament for Kearney Catholic this weekend. As always, I know you were hoping for a couple of more wins, but a top five finish and even higher than you had been ranked. Your thoughts on how the weekend went?
Yeah, we really can't complain. It's like you said, it's the top highest finish in the school's history. And, you know, I guess we're always a little bit greedy wanting a couple more wins, but I was pretty proud of the way we wrestled.
Obviously, Matt, everybody wants to zero in on Michael Klingensmith headed to Nebraska on that wrestling scholarship, and a great match in the finals, and I guess if you're Central Catholic, probably all that excited about it, but a fine, fine season and wraps up with, what, 132 straight victories?
Yeah, 132 straight wins, I think. Yeah, that's pretty salty by anybody's standards, I think. You know, I think even the GICC kid was still pretty happy about the way he wrestled too, though. So,
yeah, that was a heck of a match.
Yeah, it was.
couple big brutes out there battling it out. We had a front row seat for it. So, hats off to Starosky and hats off to Michael, too, for a great career. We're sure going to miss that guy. Unfortunately, he's graduating, though.
Well, I guess that's where we go next. I made the comment. I think a lot of people are wondering what's next now for Kearney Catholic, because you're going to lose a couple of these kids. We talked so much, and some of the coaches that we've already had on today talk about the way you get good is these kids have been wrestling for a long time coming through the little kids program. And among those, Klingensmith and Pacheco, you're going to lose a couple of seniors there. And it's going to be tough maybe to find another couple of kids like that. What's coming up here?
Yeah, well, we got a couple of pretty solid juniors coming back with Mattson and Klingensmith, and then Michael Rogers at sophomore had a great tournament this weekend. We're going to return a lot of points, I think, but we're going to have to look at that freshman class that we've got this year. We're going to have to step up. You're not going to replace the automatic points with Michael Klingensmith right there automatically. But I think we're losing between Brandon and him and Sinjin. We're losing a lot of points out of every tournament. But we're just going to have to look at those young guys. We had good numbers, at least.
Matt, anybody surprise you down there that maybe you didn't think would medal but got through and got one for you?
To be honest with you, no. None of them surprised me, really, to tell you the truth. We had high expectations for them. We actually thought that they all seven could sneak in there and get a medal, although that's not real likely. But, I was pretty happy with how Michael Rogers came through, got into that third and fourth place match, which is pretty big. And, we had a couple of close matches. We were close to getting a couple more medals out of that. And, overall, though, we're just really happy with how they performed.
Yeah, that nephew of yours, outstanding job.
Yeah, that nephew, that's right.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate the time, and I know Bernie's still dancing in the halls. That's why
he's dancing in the halls. He's probably eating a hot dog right now.
Throwing down a big goal.
He said he didn't have time for you guys this time.
Well, I'm sure glad that you made some time. Matt, thanks so much, and again, keep things rolling there with the Stars.
You bet. Thanks for your coverage, guys.
Kearney Catholic coach Matt Rogers, we need to take a break, and we will finish it off with the man that won the biggest class, Mike Shadwinkle at Grand Island, is next.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of a hoe!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a credit report is like an appetizer. If you didn't order it from Identity Guard, you may discover that there's no more food showing up. With Identity Guard, you get an entire banquet of 21st century tools and technologies. Get Identity Guard today and settle in for a feast of identity theft protection.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Call 877-600-2669 today or visit identityguard.com.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
February 24th is Fat Tuesday at the Storm Game, presented by KHAS-TV. Watch the Storm battle the in-state rival Lincoln Stars. Enjoy Storm hockey with a Mardi Gras flavor, plus it's $2 beer night. That's right, $2 beers all night long. Join the Fat Tuesday celebration this Tuesday, February 24th. For tickets, call 308-338-8011 or log on to stormhockey.com. Storm hockey, presented by Viero.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yeehaw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you drove down 25th Street in Kearney 20 years ago, you'd see a lot of things you wouldn't even recognize, except for that one place on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Well, even back then, when you were in need of a quality used car or truck, you knew you could always count on Molly's. Today, you can count on a great deal on this 2003 V6 automatic Chevy Silverado for only $59.95. Yes, sir, Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. Good to know.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop across the area today with a high temperature into the upper 40s with southeast winds increasing around 10 to 20 miles per hour at times. Tonight, we'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies. Back to the mid-20s as winds remain out of the south. We'll see a high near 60 Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, reminding you that boys' sub-district basketball tournaments begin around the area tonight on Power 99 FM. It's Elm Creek at Shelton up at Kearney High. We'll be covering the C210. Also later this week, the C29 sub-districts on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. St. Cecilia's games from the C17 will be on 1550 KICS. Hastings College women will play Dana tomorrow. The men will play Doan. Those are 5-12 matchups. Hastings on the right side of those at 6-8, 1230 KHAS. Also tomorrow here on ESPN, Kearney Catholic boys and the Kearney High girls games back-to-back on ESPN. Well, it's sports time, and of course with the state wrestling tournament winding down, they were already doing little kid stuff yesterday. And if you need some gear for your little kids, how about heading to Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center? Headgear, singlets, knee pads, and shoes, the practice t-shirts and shorts, and of course, the gym bags to tote everything around in. And if you're looking forward to softball or baseball, the boys at Misco's will help you with the new ball glove that you may need, whether it's softball, whether it's baseball, little kids, the gals, or the big boys. Misco Sports is on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. See them before the games begin. We go to the Dent Popper inbox.
This comes from Adam and Holdridge. Thanks, Sip, referring to Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star, who was on earlier. The last thing H-Man needs is for someone to stroke his ego. Enough stroking goes on in his basement as it is.
Wow.
Now I get to look forward to a month's worth of I'm the greatest and smartest Husker fan in the world emails. Thanks, Adam.
Big 12 Conference has suspended Texas Tech basketball coach Pat Knight for Wednesday night's game at Texas for criticism of officials. He's having a rough time filling in for his daddy. But it is time to talk Class A state championship wrestling. As we've had a ton of coaches on today, we sure appreciate it. But the pinnacle for Class A, and they win it by more than 100 points. And the entire school, I understand, the entire school medaled down at Omaha this weekend. And he is the head coach of the Grand Island Islanders. Mike Shadwinkle joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did every kid run around with a medal today in school? I mean, you just hand those things out now that they seem to be so easy to get if you're an Islander.
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily easy. These kids have put a lot of work in, but no, I probably should have done a better job of that and said, hey guys, flaunt it, show it off a little bit. We're in the school on Monday, but I guess I didn't think too much about that, but I've been carrying the trophy around with me all day, so I guess that helps.
Coach, I've got to ask you, you guys get 6 in the finals. Did you see that coming? 7 in the finals, excuse me. Did you see that coming?
I knew stuff like that was possible, but I never tried to predict anything like that. I just try to tell our kids to go and compete hard and wrestle hard and give it everything they got.
Alan Taylor was injured in the semifinals and was not able to wrestle because of a concussion in the finals. Fill the fans in on his status.
Well, you know, during that match, he got dumped pretty hard on his head and back of his neck and stuff. So, you know, he laid there kind of motionless for a little while, and I was kind of nervous. I didn't know if he was going to be okay or not. His eyes were closed, you know, and when you're a coach, you don't know how long that's going to last. It makes you nervous. So, I was pretty scared, but, you know, he laid there for a while, and then his eyes kind of started twitching a little bit, and they started opening up, and, you know, I got out there and tried to talk to him and got him kind of awake and stuff, and I, you know, if he was out, he wasn't out for too terribly long, but he got up, and we got him off the mat, and, you know, one of the telltale signs of concussion, and I don't know why this medically happens, but we got him off the mat and got him over to where he was just going back into the portal to go back to the training room, and he just got leaned up to a trash can and just started vomiting. So, I mean, that was kind of a telltale sign to me that he had a concussion. His mom and dad took him to the hospital, got him checked out, and sure enough, he had a concussion. And, you know, obviously the doctors that were there on site at the Quest Center wouldn't clear him to wrestle, and then obviously once he got to the hospital, they wouldn't clear him to wrestle either. So, you know, I think he's doing okay now. He's back in school, and, you know, the people at the NSAA requested that he come walk through the Parade of Champions and do all that sort of stuff. And fortunately enough, you know, he went back to his parents' hotel and stayed the night there with them and ended up being okay. And that was the first thing that I was concerned with, was just that he was going to be all right and healthy and okay. And fortunately enough, the injury wasn't anything more beyond that, and hoping that, you know, he'll recover nicely from this, and hopefully he's not feeling too bad the effects of it today. And I haven't seen him yet this morning, but I'm hoping to catch up with him sometime today and just kind of see how he's feeling. But I know he wasn't feeling very good Saturday night and was kind of still having some headaches and not feeling very well. So, but I think he's going to be okay.
Islander Wrestling Coach Mike Shadwinkle joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, when you get that many people in the finals, how important did you feel it was for Andrew Reedy and Mr. Frechtel to get off to a good start for you?
Well, they've been doing it all year to put those young kids and those freshmen out there. And, you know, they've kind of been the catalyst that starts it for us in most every tournament final round. They come out and do a great job of starting for us, and they usually come out and perform well. And so, yeah, we wanted to make sure that every kid in the finals had the opportunity to wrestle absolutely as well as possible. But, you know, for those guys to get a good start for us is always important. And, of course, they came through for us, and both of them wrestled really well and got it started. So that was great.
Mike, we always try to keep it real positive on this show, but Tony touched on one thing at the very end of the state tournament, was about Michael Schaff and maybe a technical call that cost the young freshman a chance at a state championship. I want to talk about the first match, and I don't know how much you paid attention or could tell with really focusing on your wrestling, but obviously Andrew faced Brittany Taylor, the first female to ever make it to the state finals. And I thought the crowd was over the top, you can say, pulling for Andrew or pulling against her. Did you notice that at all? And maybe your thoughts on that.
You know, I guess I kind of heard some cheering and booing and stuff and things like that. And, you know, I don't necessarily condone anybody booing at the state tournament. I just wish people would come out and cheer their fans on. And the negativity is just something that it just kind of makes you feel bad about everything that's going on. I mean, these are still young kids. They're still teenagers, you know, and they're all working hard and trying to do good things. And so I just don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's appropriate to boo those kids, you know. But, you know, whether they were for him or whether they were against him, we're still going to go out and wrestle our tails off and do the best we can. And so it's, you know, I guess it is what it is, but we wanted Andrew to wrestle well. And, you know, whoever he faces, whether it's a girl or boy or whatever, it's a matter of him going out and wrestling as well as he can and trying to perform at a high level and win that match, and that's what we wanted. And so I guess, you know, the fans are free to do what they want and tell. So I guess I just can't do anything about that, so I don't really worry about it too much.
Now that you've got this one in your pocket and you've got so many young kids coming back, looks like Omaha Scut might be a little off the bandwagon next year. So the record will be 12 in a row. So you got 11 more years to go. You think we can do this?
We got a lot of work to do if we're going to get 11 in a row. I'm gonna sit back and enjoy this one for a little while, but then we're gonna get right back to work and start worrying about number two. Number 11 and 12, I guess if it gets going that far, we'll worry about that one when we get there.
Well, that would be some kind of domination.
I want to ask him, in the Schaff match, was it a good call?
To be honest with you, I don't even know. I didn't get much chance to pay attention to anything else going on in this tournament. It was one of the most stressful matches, or one of the most stressful state tournaments I've ever been a part of. I had told my wife and my family and other people that, you know, usually I find a moment or two to just go up top and just kind of hang out with our fans and our families and go up and say hi to them and stuff like that. And I couldn't get a chance to even get up the stairs, you know. And for you too, Doug, I know you wanted a chance maybe to come up and talk, and usually I have a chance to come up and talk a little bit, but I literally had no time to get involved with any other class or any other match, and I haven't even had a chance to sit down and watch the finals from the other classes, and I was kind of looking forward to going and seeing how some of the other kids from our area did too. So I apologize, but I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
That was a bad call.
Well, you'll get a chance. I'll tell you what, that's a great problem to have, Mike. That is a great problem to have. Since we're running over anyway, let's ask you one more question, because I think you, Tony, in a roundabout way, one of the reasons is that there's some pressure, it seems like, on these freshmen, and Andrew has it. If they want to accomplish all this hype that wrestling fans and media want to put on them to become a four-time state champ or an undefeated season or a four-time finalist, all this stuff starts as a freshman, and for most it seems like it's supposed to get easier from there because, well, you did it as a freshman. I know it's not easier per se, but you've got an undefeated freshman state champion. You look at a lot of the 103-pounders, Connor Bowling from Central City, Eric Soffel from Howells, they're all undefeated freshman state champions, and you had the Maestrick kid from Howells win a four-time state championship. There's so many boards out there. How much is this talked about? I know it's not talked about by the head coaches to the kids, but they're not dumb. I mean, they know that if they want to become one of the greatest wrestlers or accomplish all this, they need to do it as a freshman. Does that sometimes put too much pressure on a 14-year-old kid?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't talked with either one of them about it. You know, if they're feeling the pressure to go be a four-time state champion, then, I guess that's what they feel. I think, you know, from my perspective as a coach, I think it's great that those kids did those things and had great freshman years, you know, and all of those other kids too. I mean, they're all fantastic young wrestlers. And, you know, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to win four of them, there's no doubt you got to take care of business as a freshman. But, you know, I think you definitely, as a coach, you have to, there's so much time in between, you know. I mean, we've got a whole year now, you know, and anything can happen, you know. I mean, from injuries to, you know, a kid, you know, dad getting a new job and moving to who knows where. I mean, anything can happen. And so, you know, I think right now we just got to sit back and enjoy this. And then, you know, these kids are great kids. I mean, at least the ones I know that they're in my program, because I work with them every day. They are fantastic young people. Andrew and Blake both will go on to do great things in school. They'll go on and do great things, you know, in potentially even some other sports. And I know that those kids are going to put in even more time in the off season. They're going to go wrestle in some big tournaments throughout the spring and summer, and they're going to go to camps. And, you know, their focus pretty soon here is going to have to be on looking within and saying, what can I do to improve myself and make myself even better? And I've always told our kids, you know, what, no matter what grade they're in, they're not judged by what other people do or what other people do to them. They're judged and evaluated based on how they do compared to themselves. And so, you know, that's the thing that I'm going to look at doing, is saying, okay, hey, here's some things maybe that we can still improve upon, and let's get better at them before next year. And, you know, if you end up being a four-time state champion, you end up being a four-time state champion, and there's nothing wrong with setting that as a goal, but the first priority is we got to get right back to work here in a week or two and continue to improve and get better as time goes on.
Well, Mike, congratulations to you and the entire crew there at Grand Island, a state championship for the Islanders. And I can see that we're just going to have more big pictures hanging on the wall of some of these kids as they move on in their career. And, again, thanks for your time as always. And, again, enjoy the moment.
Well, I appreciate it. And thanks again, as always, for covering us and having me on. I always enjoy talking with you guys.
All right, bud. Take care. Mike Shadwinkle,
thank you,
head wrestling coach of the Grand Island Islanders. We're over. We're way over. So a couple more thoughts here before we get out of here. I didn't tell you to hit that. Did I tell you to hit that?
Sorry.
You got to be, though, don't you?
I don't, actually.
Wow.
But
Tri-City Storm.
Hey, they got a 4-3 win. I wouldn't miss the game, though.
So. What kind of medical plan does Massey have?
I'm not 51 sure.
51 shots fired at him?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he made 48 saves. So he's been saving a high percentage of shots over the last couple of games. So he's kind of coming into his own, I think.
He reminds me, he's got to be the little kid in is it Big
Ducks?
Dad? No, no.
What's the?
Adam Sandler's the dad.
Big Daddy?
It is Big Daddy, right? Where he dresses him up and puts him out at second base in the catcher gear and hits ground balls at him. That's what Massey reminds me of. Daddy, a couple more things, because we didn't have a lot of time to expand. A, you didn't like the call against Michael Shaw from Sutton. The technical violation of grabbing the jersey or the singlet. I talked about it with you off air earlier. I said, I know it stinks. I know it totally stinks. And a reason why is it brought down all those things that we just talked about with Coach Shadwinkle. I mean, some things that haven't been done, and that's horrible. But I also compared it to a basketball analogy that you liked. It happened in the Central Catholic Saint Cecilia girls game the other night. 8 seconds left, 3-point game. A girl reaches across as they're taking the ball out of bounds and slaps the ball, which is a technical foul. And that's what happened here. But it is. I agree with you. It's too bad that had to happen.
Well, I'm not. I just thought they were two bulls butting heads against one another. It's got to be decided on the mats. I compared it to, with 1 second left, somebody saying, just inbound the ball, we'll go to overtime with a basketball game tied. Well, as soon as the kid gets the ball inbounded, he jumps in, nudges the kid, and throws the ball up 94 foot from the basket. The official raises his arms and calls a foul. Three shot foul. He fouled him. No, you don't make that call in that situation. How you make that call, the rule has got to be interpreted by somebody that was looking out more than being the focus of the match, which he took the focus off of the two kids, put it firmly entrenched on his back, the whole focus. Say what you want, he got the attention out of the match. A great match.
You're touching on that what happened didn't affect the outcome, didn't affect what was happening.
There has to be, from what the wrestling people I talk to say, there has to be an advantage gained by doing that. There was no advantage gained. Therefore, there's no call made. And I don't know. You know what? I got to meet Jack Ordine's parents. Had wonderful people. Had a lot of fun with them. You know what? I got to visit or stand there and listen to Michael Schaaf in the hallway as people would come up to him. Wonderful, wonderful young man. I think he's going to do fine things well beyond wrestling. I thought they were two great, very gifted athletic kids. Let the match be decided on the mat where it's supposed to. I know they were tired. I know it was overtime. But that was just... he's just a killer.
And most likely they'll meet again next year because they're both underclassmen and they're not going to be cutting to 215. So they're going to be back. They're going to be back next year.
There's none of that going on.
Also, I thought the Brittany Taylor situation was over the top. I was shocked sitting on the floor listening to the crowd react more in that match than any other match of the state tournament. I was. You know, a lot of people, and again, it's how you interpret it. I don't know Brittany Taylor. I've never spoken with Brittany Taylor. But people say she's not necessarily the cleanest wrestler out there, and she's not a tea and crumpets girl. Well, no crap. She's a wrestler. How would you like to break barriers and go through the things that she's probably had to go through to get where she's got? And if you're booing this young lady because she's a girl, You are a substandard, low on the totem pole human being. Now, if you're rooting for Grand Island, that's one thing. But it was more than rooting for Grand Island. I was, and this has nothing to do that she was wrestling a Grand Island kid because Reedy's great. I mean, how great? It was 6-2. She must be pretty good. I was shocked. Among all the things I've ever heard and been around in sports, it really surprised me. Now, if it had been that loud the rest of the day in the matches, that's one thing. It was not. It was not. Parade of Champions, by the way, is still the greatest. Patrick Witt, where's he going to school? Nobody seems to know. He's just leaving. If you're leaving the program, usually you got an idea where you're going. Big, you know. And is it a big deal? What's bigger, Mike Eckler if he leaves or Patrick Witt leaving?
Well,
Witt is leaving. What if Eckler leaves? What would be the bigger loss to the Nebraska football program?
Well, Eckler would be the bigger loss, I guess. You know, if you're not a team oriented, you gotta think. The quarterback situation, from the people that I've spoken to, say that he wasn't a big fan favorite, kind of a Harrison Beck a little bit in that regard, a little bit standoffish, wasn't one of those guys. Hey, when you're the quarterback and leader of the team, it all goes back to Stan Gable. Remember him in Revenge of the Nerds? He was the popular guy on campus. You got to be kind of one of those team leaders and team favorites.
It was Tony's idol growing up
in
high school.
I
thought it would have been Booger, but...
No, Stan Gable, way more popular than Booger. But if that's not the role, you can't really be a quiet leader. You people gravitate towards you. And as a quarterback, you've got to have those kind of qualities. And it doesn't sound like Patrick Witt had all those qualities.
Well, we'll talk more about that as the week progresses. We'll follow the Mike Heckler situation. And we just have so much more to talk about. We'll get into the basketball, Hastings College, UNK, the Huskers, baseball, softball, and all that. 10 seconds, Tony. A tie yesterday. Does it matter when you get back to Lincoln? Nebraska baseball 2-1-1, and every game came down to the final at bat.
Three one-run games
in a tie. Your
thoughts? Those deals, it's always like that on getaway day. Those flights are scheduled. They've got to fly out. That's just the way it goes. By the way, Skeet Reese, winner of the Bassmaster Classic, 11 ounces over Mike Iaconelli in one of the most fantastic last hours of fishing south of Shreveport on the Red River.
How'd you do in fantasy Bassmaster?
I haven't checked because I don't think any of my guys are there, so I think I'm well down the totem pole.
Tomorrow we're talking a little outdoor activity with Gene Beerbaum and a little gobble-gobble. But hey, we want to thank Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, and the following wrestling coaches: Rod Tickle of Hastings, Dan Lenusky of Adams Central, Tyler Herman of Amherst, Darren Garfield of Central City, Matt Rogers of Kearney Catholic, and Mike Shadwinkle of Grand Island, all joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you missed any of it, go to the podcast coming up here in about 20 minutes at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. We will see you tomorrow.
23 hours from now, Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!